One pair of hands on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
live tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185. Tonight we're broadcasting on 50-50. And we got reports down in Mississippi tonight that it's coming in good and clear. For the first time, Brother Mark's been able to pick up the programming and for me, and it sounds real good down that way, so we're thankful. You would be so kind tonight, call us after the broadcast, or you can email us if you have my email, and let us know how we're coming in your area, and we'll pass it on for the benefit of those that's listening. Now, tonight we've got quite a few announcements to make, and we're so thankful that the quality of the program on 50-50 is coming in real good in the present reports that we've got in this short time. So we're thankful, and if you have a way to call us after the broadcast or email us at buddy at Kingsgate Inn, just give us a quick email, if you will, and we'll report it on the radio, just exactly how that we're doing, and we'll let you know. Just stay tuned. Praise Yahweh. Now, tonight we've got a great program for you. We're going to get right into the program, and tonight, by the grace of Yahweh, we're going to talk about date setters for the second coming. Now, in the last days, these date setters are almost a dime a dozen, you might say, and we've got several people that are setting dates. Now, you know about date setting, or you should. Date setting is not a healthy thing as a prophet unless you directly get a word from Yahweh. So, let's not get into too much date setting. And there's a reason why that we're going to tell you and show you, and we're going to prove to you tonight that those who set dates are not very wise. Now, we're going to begin our message after we're going to tell you something about our schedule for Passover. Now, folks, the Passover for the King's Gate scheduled to start Sunday. Now, we'll be on the radio Sunday night, but I'll be on recorded message on WWCR, so we won't be live until we come back on WWRB. That'll be the following week. And so stay tuned and we'll give you an update. Remember, we're going to start the Passover, an old-fashioned Holy Ghost foot worship to kick off our Passover. Now, we've got reports from Pennsylvania. Brother Tom called me today. He's going to be on his way here. And several more in that area is coming from Pennsylvania. We also have got people from Ohio, Michigan, as usual, and people from as far away as Wisconsin. They were planning on coming, and I hope and trust that Brother Don can make it on down here. People coming from Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, going south, praise Yahweh, and North Carolina. We'll have several from North Carolina. I believe we're having a couple coming over to be baptized, according to Brother from North Carolina. And so we're looking forward to that. So several people are planning on coming for the second Passover. Now, a lot of people don't know anything about the second Passover. We would like to tell you it's biblical, beginning in the 9th chapter of the book of Numbers. It was an insertion, if you will, an update, addendum, to further update some of the problems that the first Passover presented, and to those that had touched a dead body or were in a far journey that couldn't keep the first one, they kept the second one. Well, that's the one we keep in recognition of the second Passover, and we're so glad that if you're planning on coming, you're welcome. And so we're thankful that we've got the second Passover. The weather is supposed to be fantastic. We do have people coming to work tomorrow on the chapel. We're going to work right up until the last minute of Sunday night to begin our, well, in this case, it's a working fellowship. Brother Pard from up in Illinois has been down and worked his crew, like I said, Brother Bob and Brother Preston, and we had a full agenda here. Just as soon as we get one job done, there's another one pops up and we're ready for that. Our air conditioner men are coming to hook up our air conditioners in the unit, and they'll have that, I believe, by Friday or Saturday. So everything's working out. We're going to lack outside. We've not turned our attention fully to underpinning and things around. We got the inside just about ready to go. Brother Bob and Preston is finishing up minor things that they've worked on today and tomorrow. And we'll work right up to the last minute, like I say, and things will still be there to do. So we welcome you. We're going to have a great place for you. You people that haven't seen our new assembly, I think you'll be quite pleased with it from what we've been used to out under the tent and sitting in the rain and the elements, praise Yahweh. This is going to be quite an update for us because we're not used to all these good things that the good people who have supported us and sent us offerings and tithes to get this assembly up and running, praise Yahweh. We've just had enough. We've not had an abundance of money. We still are behind on a few things. We're also taking orders for the pews We don't have those yet. I think we're going to have to use our chairs until we can get the pews, and that should happen next week. I've got a call in to the people that were to purchase them from. They're going to take it up with their elders in their church. They're selling these and going to build a new assembly, I think. And so we got a chance to buy the good price, and we're going to be taking up a donation for those that would like to buy a bench, or what we call the pew, padded. Praise Yahweh, we're not used to such luxury. We're used to sitting on the ground or the floor or whatever. And this time we're going to have a nice place to sit. Hopefully it's going to be cool when we get our air conditioner going. Everything will work on that. Pray for that to happen. Pray for those on the road that's planning on coming. We send you blessings and safety. May Yahweh look over you, and may the angels protect you as you come and to embrace you on the way. Keep his loving arms around you and make it possible for you to afford to come, and make it possible that you would receive a strong anointing and a blessing of faith when you do come. So by keeping these things that we're supposed to keep, learning the tradition of the elders and the biblical teaching of it, we're carrying on the family tradition. My people that are called by my name, praise Yahweh, humbling themselves and remembering the festivals. You learn a lot. You meet terrific people. I'm so blessed by good people around us that can't do enough for Yahweh and only do it because of Yahweh. And that's the reason that we serve him, is because he loved us before the foundation of the world. And he put that love in our heart for us to love him back and to meet him and open the door to him and take fellowship with him and do this, the communion, in remembrance. And that's why we do it. Praise Yahweh. Tonight, we have the message for you tonight. Second coming date setters. History has recorded horrible repercussions that came about and continue to come as a result of people who ignore the Word of God and go beyond it and set dates at the date that the Messiah is supposed to return. A lot of people have been left sort of embarrassed. You know, how embarrassing it would be to set a date when the Bible says, no man knows the hour or the day. Now, I know that there's signs related to the second coming. And if you're like me, it don't take a rocket scientist or any kind of a prophet to predict that we are in the end time. But basically, that's what the apostles and the disciples of the day of the Messiah, and when he went away, they started talking about the day he was going to come back. Now, the problem is that once a date is set and committed, and the world can verify when it don't happen, it brings the person a false prophet. Now, just for your information, we've got a date setter that is set in May, I believe it's the 22nd, for the second coming, or the rapture. I guess that's what it is. And if that don't happen, now this prophet, I think it's in Texas. We're not sure, but I believe he's from Texas. And he's been sending out messages to the world, and he's setting this date. People with these egos, they believe so strongly that when they set a date, they try to believe it and make it happen. The result has been the formation of several religious organizations that call themselves Christian, but they reject the Bible teaching as part of their basic tenets, and the pseudo-Christian denominations that are used by the devil, not Yahweh, to create broader avenues to eternal destruction by the falseness of the teachings and history, the graveyards of history of these false prophets is evident because, you know, since he said he was coming back quickly. Now, if he comes back in one day, remember this. That's been 2,000. We're fixing to enter the third day. Now, the Bible says after 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up. Now, anybody could broadly say, okay, 2,000 years has passed. We're in the signs of the last days. If you can see that, I can. I don't know about you, but I can believe that his coming is nigh even at the door. Now, that don't give me permission that the devil could use me, let's say, to create a date. And a lot of people that really believe in Pastor Buddy and respect his sayings, if I said it, most people would take it to heart, even if I did say it. But let's say that the devil deceived me and set a date, and it turns out to be wrong. Then we discredit our own self. We don't do anything to Christ because Christ was not in it. He didn't speak. And we'll give you information in the Bible where to beware of these prophets that speak by their own vision, not Yahweh. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, it says, "And if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which Yahweh hath spoken?" Well, listen to this. When a prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, and thou shalt not be afraid of that prophet. Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, but in my research for this message, I didn't know it. I was really news to me. But Christopher Columbus wrote a book, and he called the book the Book of Prophecies. Christopher, who got credit for finding or discovering America, he had a lot of weight in that day, especially when he wrote a book. He predicted, now listen, the world would end in 1656. Now, that was the year number of the flood after the creation. In other words, 1,656 years after when he predicted it. So, his reason for predicting it was that Christ's coming, that Yahweh would give the world the same amount of time before the final judgment that he gave the world to prepare. So, he felt like it was imperative that the world be reached with the gospel before Christ returned in his messianic kingdom. Of course, we know that Christopher Columbus turned out to be a false date setter. Well, this is one that you'll probably remember because it happened just recently. Date setter, William Miller. He was from New York. He was a farmer. And he pronounced the faith, Christian faith. He decided in 1818 that Christ would return in 1842 to 1844. Now, when he became a preacher, he was self-taught and without necessary discipleship and training. But people began to pay attention to William Miller, and he had quite a huge following for that day. And he made this the keynote of all his sermons. He's very eloquent. He's very sincere and earnest. And after an ever-enlarging audience, in 1839, there was a financial panic that caused even more to believe that the world was coming to an end. Now, these prophetic charts, which were often used to keep up with the stock market reports and newspapers as the countdown to the end became closer, the whole concept became known as Millerism. Between March of 1842, remember he's going to predict that between 1842 and 1844, which was the year in which the Christ, the Messiah, was to return. However, nothing happened in 1842, nothing happened in 1843, and nothing happened in 1844. Now, Miller was very disappointed, of course. But instead of apologizing, he decided that it was his error that he had miscalculated. He set a new date, after it didn't happen in early 1844, which he predicted. He refigured and picked the date of October the 22nd. Now, I just gave you a date setter. He's of national prominence. He's a preacher. I won't use his name. But he's set the date of May the 22nd. 20 and 11, that we're going to have an actual rapture. Now, Mr. Miller, of course, missed October the 22nd, 1844. But as the date neared, farmers didn't even bother to harvest their crops. They believed in Mr. Miller. They was ardent followers. And when the date came, and the date, after others quit their jobs and sold their possessions and gave the money away, they didn't need it. When the day arrived and fear and foreboding swept across New England and places where Mr. Miller's message had traveled, many were filled and they feared for the great event. And they all gathered on mountaintops. Now the day came and the day went and people became disillusioned. And the date is remembered in history, October 22nd, 1844, as the Great Disappointment Day. Millerites did not learn their lesson but continued on after Mr. Miller to set dates, and so began the Seventh Day Adventist Church, in which Mr. Miller himself was their president. Now, later on, after 1844, Francis Nicol made the Millerite date an invisible event in Christ's movement. He explained away that Christ wasn't coming physically. But in 1844, he came spiritually. Now, he was also a follower of Miller, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist. He was editor of their publication, Midnight Cry. Hiram Edson expanded on this concept of the invisible coming, claiming to see visions. Ellen White, the most noted, by the way, of the Seventh-day Adventists, she also saw visions of it and added the requirement of the Sabbath observance from Friday evening to sundown on Saturday. Now, these were visions. She was a speaker, and many followed her. These demented folks who based their doctrine on lying visions and the work of the false prophet Mr. Miller and the date setters, they officially organized in 1863 as the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, her foundation of starting was on a lie. The visions were based on several changing Miller's, or actually justifying his doctrine, and it grew into such a large following that today the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a strong advocate of Ellen White. Now, after this, date setter Charles Russell felt that he alone could interpret Scripture and invited a lot of people to attend his meetings, and many came and followed Mr. Russell, Charles Russell. In the process, he was so daring that he set several dates. One was that Christ's presence on earth began in the fall of 1874. But he only came to the upper air. This was about a 40-year harvest period that he thought was to begin. Then in 1914, at the end of the Gentile, he predicted, would come, and the second coming would reap 144,000 saints who would be kings and priests in heaven and would all have been sealed. But when the world did not end, it was taught that those that are saved after this date belong to the servants of a great company. The great company is those who will rule on earth under the 144,000. And after Mr. Russell died, an industry lawyer named Joseph Franklin Rutherford, now, let's see what he done. He took the presidency and became the president of Watchtower Society. And he was the one that gave the name to the group, the Jehovah Witnesses. Now, these Jehovah Witnesses were organized under false pretense, date setters. All of these failed. But they had a great following who justified the error of Mr. Russell and others who took his place and justified it. And the Watchtower Society, this is the group that get women and men to carry little satchels and sell little magazines, and they become known as Jehovah Witnesses. Now, Jehovah is not his name. Jehovah is a erroneous name. And this group, who organized as Jehovah Witnesses, predicted that the world would end in 1914. That didn't happen. They changed it to 1918. That didn't happen. They changed it to 1920. That didn't happen. They changed it to 1925. That didn't happen. They changed it to 1941. That didn't happen. And just recently, they predicted that the second coming would be in 1975. That didn't happen. And when the dates set passed with the world not ending, they decided that human history actually began when Eve was created. And another new teaching is that the world, before the world went in, and the Battle of Armageddon, first 144,000, there they come back now, just like the Millerites. Here's the Russellites. And Mr. Rutherford, that the 144,000 anointed the class from 1914 must die off. The illegal dealings of Russell and his group are well documented and should be sufficient alone to prove that this group is not of God, nor does the teaching come from the people who are of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these modern false prophets and these groups They excused 1914, 1918, 1920, 1925. They made excuses in 1941. They made excuses in 1975. And finally, they came to the Battle of Armageddon. And then they grouped that if the Jehovah Witnesses went about their jobs and were sincere, and they got many witnesses to witness for Jehovah, which is a false god, don't even have the name right, but they would earn the right to be plucked off the earth as part of the 144,000. False date setters. Beware, there are many. Now, what about date setter Mr. Harold Kevin? He recently claimed that Yahweh, and he's a pretty good persuader, he claimed that Yahweh would return on September the 6th, 1994. Now, of course, again, nothing happened. And this self-taught lay Presbyterian, who has spread false teaching for many years on his radio stations, after all, he gets people's attention because he sounds very pious, very sincere, and he looks up the verses on the air to talk about them. And in twisting, he sets dates. 1994 didn't happen. Now, he also, after they didn't happen, used the old trick. He was wrong to naturalize, so he spiritualized. And the biblical statement that he made and had people to do was to look for mysterious interpretation to understand the scripture. But his interpretation, again, is private and contrary to 2 Peter 1:20, in that Mr. Kevin can arrive at the strange ideals he teaches, listen to this now, and he's also said others, when the date arrived and there was no fulfillment, publicly proving himself to be a false prophet. Instead, he changed his teaching and now teaches that we are in the tribulation now and all Christians must not attend any organized churches, and it's clear that from this unrighteous biblical teaching that states that the complete opposite, he now has started his own group of followers, and they are still set in date. And they are the Kempites. Now, Mr. Kempite, Mr. Howard Kempin, he's still witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, and setting dates. And it's sad that even after they set the date, and they don't happen, they then reevaluate what they have said and somehow say, yeah, I was wrong. And by being wrong, they teach that they just misinterpreted because they wasn't listening close enough, but that they're going to have Yahweh's ear and he's going to speak to them this time and it's going to be true. Fear not those prophets who prophesy lies. He said, don't fear. Date setters. Beware of date setters. Now, when I say beware of date setters, I mean that these preachers who preach are not reading the Bible to understand that no man knows the day or the hour. When you set a date, you automatically become a false prophet because no man knows the date. You can see the signs and the blowing of the travailing winds that follow these signs. You can study the Bible clear and tell people to be ready. Now remember what the angel said unto the men who were watching his going away. You men of Galilee, this is Acts 1:11. Why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Messiah, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Now listen as I continue. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day. Now he appointed it. Now you say, well, why didn't he know it when he said no man knows the day of hour? Because he hadn't appointed. But now he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men, in that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, the verses are saying that the Messiah is going to return to earth just like he was taken up. That don't mean that he's going to return to the Mount of Olives like everybody thinks. He's going to set his foot and the earth's going to split in two and all this stuff. But it does say that on the last day, every eye shall see him. How's that possible? The wicked won't see him. Those who were his sheep, but rather wanted to be goats. That's the appointment day that we will meet and be judged worthy or unworthy. Now, why we keep our Passover in ritual form and communion is that we prove by the scriptures, as Paul so adequately in language told us, whosoever eateth and drinketh unworthily. Now, unworthily is an adverb actually appointing or placing the emphasis on that man that appointed the day. Not us, but he that made the appointment unworthily. We don't eat worthily because we did something. We eat and take the Passover because we are unworthily, as an adverb added to the action, placing the emphasis on he that appointed the day. And so every time we do that, we remember his coming. Now that's why we do it, and we do it according to the scriptures. We do it because, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 through 13, listen to this. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, where does that take you to, new heaven and a new earth? Well, the word hasting, looking for and hasting, in verse 12 is the Greek word spedu. Spedu. Like you see these little spiders that they made to run on top of the water. Speedus. Which means to desire earnestly, to hurry, or to strive for. Now, as believers and those who practice the rituals of Passover, do it in remembrance, we desire earnestly to remember or to return to our Messiah that we may begin our life in a new heaven. Not up in heaven, but in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Matthew or Luke 17, verse 20. And he's not coming to take us up into heaven as these false prophets who have never got the key to the understanding. He's coming to do away with the wicked at his coming, destroy them with the brightness of his coming, the Bible said. And then he's coming to change this wicked world into a new earth, as he is into a new heaven. And in Isaiah 66, verse 22, 23, and 24, gives a complete analogy of the millennial blessing of the kingdom for the 144,000 that the Jehovah Witness think that they're going to be good enough to take in. Now, if you really want to know about the 144,000, the Bible speaks about them and gives you insight to who they were. These were babes. These were the ones that lost their lives as they gave their testimony spiritually for these little children were beheaded, all of them males, and the Jehovah's Witness run around letting these silly women pass out literature, and they believe that they're going to be one of the 144,000. I'm sorry. The 144,000 has been reaped from the earth in the first resurrection. They rose with his dead body, came out of the grave, according to Matthew 27, starting at verse 56, 7, 8, and 9. They came out after his resurrection. So there was a 144,000 grouped males worthy, because they were the first ones to shed blood for the babe who Herod tried to kill, thinking that if he killed all the children, he'd be sure to get the king of kings. He was jealous and envious that someone would come and take away his kingship. What an evil, wicked generation. And what a evil, wicked witness that the Bible gives to Herod. Now, these people that are setting dates are just as wicked as Herod was. When it says, even so come, Yahweh, even the apostles in their day believed he would come back in their day. Well, they all died. And then the Bible says in the last days that they will begin to say, where is the promise of his coming? So many false date setters have got people laughing as they're a joke. These TV evangelists, these fancy Dans that get people to follow them, these radio preachers that people get, they get people to follow them because they set dates and prove themselves to be false prophets who are not to be feared by the people. Oh yeah, we got people setting dates all over the land. Here's what Yahweh said to do to the disciples when, and they believed he was coming back in their day. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Therefore, Paul said, whether he's here or whether we go there, we know that we're preaching Christ. And so Paul didn't set dates. He just kept preaching to get ready. Now, the parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 servants, he delivered unto them 10 pounds, and he said, occupy till I come. The word occupy means to be diligent in business or trading. Now, the world, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, and he shall not stand before mean men. When a person is diligent in the Bible study, you won't be led astray by these date setters. But the believers always seek the scriptures. No man knows the day or the hour, so if you hear somebody setting a date, you know that's a false prophet. The Bible said it will come upon people unaware. Nobody has set the date, truthfully. Now, when you see the signs, that's setting the days before the coming. When you see the last sign in the heavens, this will be registered in the heavens, and we may be just at the point. I've taught many hours on 20 and 12. It could be that we are in the last days and the signs are coming to pass. that he taught us they would come. And then he said to look up and you'll see the sign of the coming. What is the sign of his coming? His coming is many witnesses. And unless there comes a falling away, the end won't come. Now, when you see a falling away, look at the church. They tell us that they're growing in record numbers, that Christianity, these denominations, they're adding to the church. Well, if we take them into consideration as being truthful, then Christ ain't going to come back. The signs don't mean a thing. Nobody should be alarmed. But we're warned in Romans 11, verse of chapter 12, do not be slothful in business, but be fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Now, we're not to be slothful or lazy in Yahweh's work, but we're to work that whether he comes in our day or comes at a later day, that you will meet him in peace. Date setting has been around since the Messiah announced that he would be returning. Some people come along, some prophets, some teachers, some with a following, and they see the people demand, well, Pastor Buddy, when's he coming back? What day is he coming back on? Tell us. Prophesy to us. And I said, I'll give you the signs of Matthew 24. In those days there will be famine, pestilence, people running to and fro, much knowledge being increased, earthquakes and famines in diverse places. All these things have come upon us in this last day generation. When he's coming back, I have no idea. I just want to be ready when he does come back. Now, the Hall of Shame, not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Shame, I could give you a list of those who have set dates and it didn't come to pass. But I will be here the rest of the night and the rest of the week. I won't do that. I'll just give you a sampling tonight of those who have set dates and it didn't happen. Are we supposed to fear those who run off and get them little groups, come to my place, Christ is here, or Christ is coming here. He'll make his first stop here, pick us up, we'll be raptured out. These prophets that set dates after dates after dates, and it never comes to pass. What's wrong with these people? May the 21st or 22nd, I believe the date, the last date that we're to look for, that he's coming back in 2011, May 21st, the rapture. And October the 21st, it's going to be the annihilation of the unsaved. Jack Van Am. He said a date. You think he'd know better? Much scripture is. He likes to think he knows. But the secret things belong to Yahweh. Deuteronomy 29:29. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. That's the sons of Yahweh. That we may do all the words of the law. So we're whether he comes tomorrow, do the words of the law. Be here for Passover. Might be your last one. I'm not predicting it will be. I'm just saying there's a possibility you may never keep another one. Now, your record is going to be presented before you. It's like you're going to stand up there with your hat in your hand, as my good brother Paul says from up in Michigan. You're going to stand there with your hat in your hand, and you're going to face the music. Now, where's the sheep going? Well, they're going to the right. Those are the ones that said they would go and went. And the ghosts are going to the left. That's the one that said they was going to go, but never. Which one has the most justification? Now, you don't want to be those that say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I serve God. Well, when's the last time that you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time you told someone about the name of Yahweh? Going to all world and preach the gospel? Not. Don't preach the false date setting that you think somebody follows you. Now, I don't have a large following, never have had, and never will have. The large following is on the Broadway. Oh, they get the signs and they get the print. They get on television. Costs a lot of money to get on television. I know. I inquired one time about getting on television for 30 minutes. And the amount of money that they asked this poor preacher was out of the reality of getting on television. It was awful how much money they wanted for 30 minutes. Now, you can get these odd dates or odd times, and, you know, you can be on at 2 o'clock in the morning when they just use fillers to fill their scheduling up on television, but nobody around to hear you. The Bible does not condone, as you get the end of my message here tonight, the Bible does not endorse or condone date setting. All these prophets that have set dates time after time, and they keep getting them wrong, but they keep setting them. How can people listen to preachers like that? I've never set a date of his coming in my life, and I don't expect it. Now, Jonah was a date setter, and he ran like crazy to get away from setting his date. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 3, which is a fantastic chapter to read. You can get her education if you know what to look for. Jonah began to enter into the city, and he went a day's journey. And as he went, he cried. And he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And we all know what happened. Noah set a date. And yet 7 days, I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. David set a date. He was 30 years old when it began to rain, and it rained 40 years. And Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel. Christ was 33 years old when he died. This is symbolic. And the Passover is nothing but symbolic. Do it in remembrance. Oh, I dread it. The devil hates the Passover like no other festival. And he feeds upon you. You remember tonight that the devil fought the man to whom you honor and to whom you do it in remembrance. And if he hated him then, nothing has changed. He'll hate you. Now, when Mr. Campin, when he set a date in 1994, that didn't happen. He set one in 95, that didn't happen. He set so many dates. His latest date is being on the 21st day of May. Now, that's going to come up pretty quick. 21st day is going to be coming up real quick. What if Mr. Campin is right? He could keep setting dates if he gets one right, but I doubt it. But I would like to encourage you on behalf of this being the possible last Passover you'll keep. Not saying that it is. Remember that. I've kept 22 Passovers, and every year that I kept it, I said it might be my last. Now, if Yahweh tarries and he outstrips me and my body gives way and I go to meet him when his coming for all the world to see will not prevent them asleep, for Yahweh's going to bring me with him. So whether I live or whether I die, I'm going to walk in the new city here on the earth. I'm not going nowhere, but this earth is made for the righteous. They shall inherit it, and I plan to be one of them. Oh, what a happy day when there's no sin, when there's no temptation, when there's no evil, and everything that commits sin is turned into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and these date setters will be there crying and setting dates for when hell will end. I wonder who's going to listen to them. Be like sound and brass and tinkling cymbals. Date setters have been wrong since Christ died and went away. They've already set dates when he's coming back. Dates come and go. No man knows the hour or the day. I wouldn't predict the day he's coming back if the devil and his angels spoke directly to me. I'm not going to boast because I don't want to be tried, but I would pray that Yahweh never let me have that temptation to set a date and get the brothers and sisters of whom I love so much set a date and it not happen and prove me to be a false prophet. I don't want to embarrass Yahweh. I don't want to embarrass myself, and I certainly don't want to deceive or embarrass those who follow me. I have asked you to remember Yahweh. I've asked you to come. I've made the invitation several times. You can make your excuse, and you can justify it. But in that city, in the New Jerusalem, where you must have his name in your forehead, and when you must belong to one of the 12 tribes, as a sheep, not a goat. Now remember, the goat ain't going to make it. That's many are called and few are chosen. Now he wouldn't call you if you hadn't had a chance. It's the chosen, not the called. It's those that are set about to do the Father's work. I got to get up here tonight. I'm sponsored by Brother Mark on WWRB. I'm going to only be on two nights a week on WWRB. I've been working so hard, and it's been so hard on Buddy because I preach live. I never preach a recorded message. I hope and trust we're getting good positive reports on the quality of the broadcast. Mark himself called me and said it was sounding much better. First time he'd received it on his shortwave, and was sounding good. 50-50. Praise Yahweh, we're so thankful that we're competing now with 4840 on WWCR. Both of these stations are the same power, and you can only transmit on the power scale. The quality of the transmission is the key to, and I understand from Mark, he knows how to listen to the radio, and he also knows the quality when you're, he said it sounded much better. That relieves me, because Mark is one of my sponsors. Brother Paul is my sponsor up in Michigan, 1-800-253-2748. Brother Bud and Brother Edward will sponsor my Friday night program, and we're still being sponsored around the world. Praise Yahweh on WWRB 3.185. Also, 50-50, the latest and the greatest. We'll be transmitting exclusively on 50-50 for the Shepherd's Calling, Pastor Buddy. And like I say, I'll know more about the response after the broadcast. If you'd like to email me and let me know how the program's coming in. Praise Yahweh. I would like to hear it. And we appreciate you. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh is a mighty one. Yahweh is coming soon. I ain't going to set a date, but I want you to be ready along with Pastor Buddy. I would hate to be a castaway, not being a partaker of the things that I preach. I try to practice what I preach. Try to practice being humble. I have fasted in my time, and I've eaten crow in my time. I've been wrong a few times. I've listened to a lot of doctrine over the time. He always blessed me and put a unquenchable hunger in my heart to love his people. And that was the kind of man that the Messiah was. He loved those of his sheep. His sheep will hear his voice, and the stranger, they will not follow. Call me tonight, area code 5, or area code 423-351-1082. That's what I want you to call tonight. Let me know how the radio's coming in. 423-351-1082. Now, if you want to write me, I'm Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. I'll see you Friday night, 9:30 on our regular schedule. Yahweh bless you till he comes.